Let's talk science now, though. Heart attacks are one of the leading causes of death, but our ability to predict exactly where an artery might fail has so far been fairly limited. Now, scientists have found a way to reveal precisely which spots, which parts in your coronary arteries are at risk of blockage. Our regular science correspondent Chris Smith has been taking a look at this. Chris, hello there.
Good morning.
How is it possible to see these points of weakness in our arteries before a heart attack occurs? Chris, what's changed?
Well, Ramsey Camis, who's a researcher at Imperial College, funded by the British Heart Foundation, has published this paper. It's in Nature Scientific Reports. It's literally just hot off the press. I spoke to him earlier today. And this is very exciting because in the last 20 years or so, the treatment of heart disease has been revolutionised by what we call percutaneous coronary interventions. In other words, you can thread tubes in through other arteries in your body, get them up to the coronary arteries that supply the heart, squirt dye down them, find out where blockages and obstructions are, and clear them using the process of angioplasty, where you inflate a balloon, open up the vessel, and then prop it open with a metal cage called a stent. Now, that's made a very big difference, but the point is that when people are having a heart attack, what happens is that an area of a blood vessel has become narrowed, and it's narrowed by an atheromatous plaque. But some of these plaques are more stable than others. And when a person has a heart attack, it's because the plaque ruptures. It exposes this necrotic contents inside it to the blood flow, which then forms a blood clot, and that's what blocks the artery. And what researchers would very much like to do is to be able to pinpoint which of those atheromatous plaques are most at risk of doing that, so they can intervene at these heart attack waiting to happen places before you have the heart attack, prevent the heart attack, and thereby also mean that that person has less disability.
Right. So preventing the heart attack, well, I mean, once these weak or damaged areas are identified, what can be done to fix them to prevent the heart attack?
Well, the problem is identifying them in the first place, because we can squirt dye down there, we can give people scans, but all they show you is the shape of the artery, and some narrowed points are not the ones that are going to give the problem. That's been the issue.
Right.
But what Ramsey Camis has done is to come up with this antibody, which it doesn't have a very catchy name. It's called LO1750, but it's an antibody capable of recognising an oxidised form of cholesterol that's very, very much in abundance in these unstable plaques that are going to rupture. And what he's been able to do is to couple this antibody to a fluorescent marker. What they're showing in initially mice and also rabbits, but there's no reason why this wouldn't work in people, is that you can inject this antibody into the bloodstream. It goes to these places in the blood vessels where there's a lot of this oxidized LDL, which is a risk factor for these plaques rupturing, and it flags them up. And because you've got this glowing fluorescent marker on there, you can see where in the artery wall this is happening. And that means you then target your intervention to that place. At the moment, we would use one of these angioplasty and stent approaches. But longer term, what he's now working on is making an antibody, which he's coupling to drug molecules, so that you now have a way of delivering a packet of a drug. It might be an anti-inflammatory drug. It may be some way of stabilizing that plaque so it doesn't rupture, and doing it just where that intervention is needed and staving off the heart attack you haven't had yet.
Could be completely revolutionary, couldn't it? Some other fantastic news. Scientists have used genetic tests to confirm that Indigenous Australians are descended from ancestors who arrived here in this country 50,000 years ago.
Yes, now the archaeology has told us for a very long time that there have been people in Australia for some 50,000 years. What is less clear is whether or not people have come subsequent to that. Maybe 5,000 years ago or so, we know dingoes turned up about then in Australia. We know that stone tool use changed about 5,000 years ago. This led some people to conclude that perhaps other people came then as well, and that's what changed things around. Or were the original settlers in Australia 50,000 years ago the same ones that are there today? Mm. Their ancestors have given rise to the present day Aboriginal population, for example. It's been very difficult to do these sorts of studies directly. But now we have got that data because a group of researchers in Australia and also in the UK at the Sanger Institute, this is Chris Tyler Smith, have managed to sequence the Y chromosomes of 13 men And they've got the complete, for the first time, complete Y-chromosome sequence of these individuals. And the Y-chromosome is useful to look at because it's only passed from a father to a son, which means that unlike the other chromosomes in the body, which come in pairs, and they can swap genetic information between the pairs, which can muddle up the genetic message, making it harder to trace the evolution, there's nothing for the Y-chromosome to swap information with. So you see this pure inheritance pattern. And what that analysis is showing, published today, just come out in Current Biology this morning, is that there's no evidence of mixing of any DNA into that Y chromosome or any other Y chromosomes coming into Australia for 50,000 years. So the people who came, they were some of the first people to leave Africa in the big migration out of Africa 50,000 or 60,000 years ago. They came down across Sahul, which was this ancient continent made up of Australia, Tasmania, Papua New Guinea, which was defined by sea level changes. They came in, they have not left since, and they haven't been added to since. So those other hypotheses that other people came about 5,000 years ago does not appear on the basis of this analysis of 13 people who they say is adequately diverse and representative of most of the populations across Australia of those early ancestors. There's no evidence anyone else came since. Finding out how those dingoes got there and some of the other outstanding questions, that's work for tomorrow.
Well, also the question of why this population stayed so intact and separate, why others didn't come and change it too for so long ago is interesting. Chris, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Flan. Thank you.
That research Chris mentioned just published in Current Biology. And you can catch more of Chris on The Naked Scientists on RN tonight at 10 p.m. And Chris is answering the science questions that listeners have been sending in. So you've been sending in questions. He's going to answer them tonight, including why noses and ears get hairier as we age, and whether you can stop a storm with an explosion, and can you catch more than one cold at once? Great questions, all of you. Fantastic. Hear the answers tonight on The Naked Scientists at 10 o'clock here on RN.